Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fantasy Dating Radio. I am your host, Suzanne Casamento. I'm the author of Dare to Date. I'm a dating expert and the creator of Fantasy Dating. And I'm thrilled to introduce my co-host, actor, writer, voiceover extraordinaire, and most importantly, my favorite black man, Rob DeLuzma. Hello, Rob.
Hello, hello, Mighty Sue.
Hello.
Worldwide webs. What's up, everybody out there? I hope everybody had a great week. Who's cracking up over here. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to my man, Daniel Pearson, a.k.a. DP of Tower of Sound, who's given us this great theme music for our show. Check him out on Twitter, Facebook, follow him. That's Tower of Sound, T-A-O of Sound. They're fantastic.
They are fantastic. So, audience, do you always choose the wrong people to date?
Do you?
Do you stay in relationships you never should have gotten into in the first place?
Do you?
If you have a hard habit to break, this is the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Dunnigan will be joining us
Jessica.
In a few minutes. She's a relationship expert who helps singles see and then break their bad habits.
Boom.
Yeah. So we're really excited. She's raw and real, and her approach leaves no stone unturned.
Not one on the road.
So stay tuned. She'll be joining us in just a few minutes. And as for now, the love lines are open. So if you completed last week's dare and introduced yourself to three new people, please call us now at 323-870-3965 to share how you dared.
And hey, peoples. Your favorite black man is open for you. Oh, wide open, in fact. So if you have a question you want to just holler at me and ask, it's our portion of Ask Rob. Please call us, as the Mighty Sue's has said, at 323-870-3965. Again, the number is 323-870-3965.
So before the show started, Rob and I were talking a little bit about dating turnoffs.
Because that's just what we do.
Because we sit around and chat about things that annoy us.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So Rob has a little story.
Well, okay, so since the Mighty Sue's put it like that. So Sue's, when we were together this weekend,
yes,
all right, had
oh,
a
yes,
good
we
time.
Were.
Had a good time mm-hmm. as usual. I mm-hmm. hang out with the Sues off the show, just in case y'all know. That's my homegirl for 25 years and counting.
And counting.
And that's right. So a friend had suggested to me, really good friend, really cool cat, was suggesting to me about a woman that he knew. And his basic selling point for her was basically, which is one of my biggest pet peeves of all, is that she is not black, and the deal was that she only dates black men.
Dun 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 dun.
I don't know about anybody out there. Okay. So let me put these cards on the table. I'm all about love is love.
I agree.
Okay, Suze, so let me just put that out there. I'm not into the
too.
BS of racism or race or anything.
God, no.
I'm so not into that.
Lord, help us if it comes up.
Come on, man. I'm if anybody that knows me, I'm a humanist more than anything else.
I agree.
Okay? But just for anybody out there, just so you know, at least for me, if you're going to put on the resume when you introduce yourself to me and we start chopping it up and we're hanging out and having a good time, If the first thing you're going to tell me is, I only date black guys, complete turn off.
Totally. I agree.
Okay, so it was just, you know what I mean? That's.
I agree.
It's weird, man.
Well, because then it's like somebody's only going out with you because you're chocolatey.
Yeah.
Not because of who you are.
Right, right. I mean, chocolatey is a part of who I am.
Of
and
course.
I totally embrace that part of myself.
Yes.
Right, right.
But as do I. All the time.
But, right. That's fine. That's fine. But if you're going to put that on the resume, if you're going to make that a point.
Yeah.
It's too weird.
It is. It's too weird. I totally agree. It's like those dudes, those white dudes who only date Asian girls.
Mm.
What in the world is that about?
What is that about?
I don't know. I mean, you got to ask a white dude who only dates Asian girls. Because, I mean, but I mean, I don't get it. It's like, aren't you interested in the person, the sum of all her parts? Like, or you just want, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get that people have their type.
Right.
And there are things that they are physically attracted to.
Right, right.
I get that. But if it's, I will only date Asian girls, or I will only date black guys, or I will only date, you know, white girls with blonde hair. I mean, you know.
Right.
Really?
Right. You know me to know that I like, you know, I like voluptuous women, right? But
yes.
I've also been very, very attracted to petite women as well. You know what I mean? I believe that I'm a lover of women of all shapes, sizes, colors, or whatever.
I believe you are, too.
Okay, all right, all right. Putting that out there, worldwide, putting that out there.
The man does not have a type.
No,
no.
Not generally, no.
No.
But, yeah, man, I remember just looking over at you. I was just like, man, that's just weird. The moment somebody tells me something like that, it's just kind of like, I feel like I was trying to chop it up with you about that. It's like, I don't know, man. It's almost like I feel like I'm in a glass case or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's weird. Weird. Well, I mean, because the bottom line is, I mean, for me, it makes me uncomfortable to be judged or wanted, you know, solely upon my looks. You know,
right.
You know, and it's partially because I'm not necessarily interested in what a person I date looks like. I mean, to the point where I have dated some really ugly dudes. and I mean that. I mean unattractive men. Yes. And I can hear one of my girlfriend's voices going, "How could you?" in the back of, you know, my brain right now. But, you know, because for me, it's not about that. It's about who are you and how do you make me feel and really how does your brain work? I'm looking for somebody who's curious, someone who is who's interested in discovering new things.
Right.
And you know, that's what turns me on.
Right.
So, you know, if you happen to be a short little troll, I'll still love you.
Yeah.
But that's me. So I don't want to be judged solely on my looks. I think we were having a conversation about this because we were talking about Tinder, and we were talking about how I'm thinking about doing some online dating, and I'm not really interested in being on that app because I think that app is particularly or focuses particularly on the way someone looks.
Right.
And I don't want to be judged on the way I look. I don't want someone to swipe right because I'm hot to them. You know, I want someone to swipe right because, oh, wow, she sounds amazing. You know what I mean?
But I do, Suze. I do.
And I know that's, you know, me, and I'm weird like that. But, but you know, I want it to be about more than that. And for those of you who don't know me, this does not mean I am a troll.
No, World Wide Web, it's not that.
It's not that. It's just, it has to be part of a bigger picture. So I can totally understand why someone, like if you started dating a girl and you found out that all her exes were black men, she's never dated a white guy, she only dates black guys as a white woman.
Right.
And if she said, well, I only date black guys. I mean, I could understand why you would feel a little bit weirded out like about that.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Like, if, I don't know.
I mean, if somebody said, you know, I only date curly-haired Italian girls, I'd be like, well, okay, so you're just dating me for my curly hair and my meatballs? What? You know?
Those are great traits, though, Sue.
Why, thank you.
I got to say that.
Yes, I know.
But, that was just a big... I just remember looking over at you, like I said. I was just kind of like, what? Like, the moment I hear... I mean, if you're going to put any card on the table, ladies, or even dudes, I don't think that's the card you want to put on the table.
No.
That's all I'm saying at the end of the day.
No. Yeah, and I mean, and that is actually a really good message. So let's say that you have a type, and you are particularly drawn to black men, black women, Asian women, whoever.
Curly-haired Italian women.
Yeah, whoever you're particularly drawn to, I most certainly wouldn't tell the people that you date. Well, I only date people who look like you.
Yeah, man.
That'd be creepy. Don't say that.
Don't put that on the resume is all I'm saying, folks.
No. And maybe what you do, I wouldn't advertise
that. Just don't advertise it. Don't put it on the resume, man.
Don't advertise that. Well, and that's one of the things about fantasy dating, too. You know, we really urge you to, if you do have a type.
Right.
If you've dated someone who is the same type enough times to know that you have a type, then your type is not working for you. Because it's not working out with that kind of person.
Come on.
A great goal is to not date. If you do have a type, date people who are not necessarily your type and see what happens. Stretch that comfort zone and date someone new. You may be pleasantly surprised.
Right.
It's also,
just big turnoff. Thought it would be really cool to talk about.
Huge turnoff.
On the show, yeah.
Huge turnoff. I totally agree.
Didn't like that at all.
No. I have a list of turnoffs.
Well, break it down, Sue. Let me hear you.
Guys who snore.
I wouldn't know anything about that, but I believe you.
That's because you're perfect.
I don't know about that, but...
Yeah, guys who snore, not good. No bueno. Figure it out. Fix it up. Because, you know, that's problematic.
I don't like, rude... I want to say rude people, but really, like I was saying with you before, I think it says a lot about your character on if you're out with somebody how they deal with waiters or bartenders.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Even if you're buying like a pack of gum at the 7-Eleven.
Yes.
I mean, I think it says a lot about who you are and how you deal with people in those instances.
I absolutely agree. And even the pack of gum at the 7-Eleven, there's such a huge difference between picking up a pack of gum, tossing it down on the counter, not acknowledging the cashier, and just handing the money or swiping your card and walking out versus, you know, hi, how you doing? Great.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Or being a ravenous fucking biatch at the, when you're at a restaurant with your waiter. Ugh.
Oh, it's terrible.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pleases and thank yous.
Hey, World Wide Webs, let me give you a good good tip, just overall, besides outside of dating. My pops taught me that you never want to be rude to anybody who handles your food.
Oh, my God. Your pops is right.
that's a lifelong lesson my pops taught me a long time ago. And considering I used to work in the food industry, I know there is nothing but truth to that.
Absolutely true.
So being really rude and obnoxious to your waiter, somebody who's bringing you over your food, somebody who's going to pack up your food in case you want to take some stuff home, Sue's, you won't be rude to those people.
Never.
No.
Never. Absolutely not.
I'll tell you all right now, you don't know what they're doing with your food behind those closed doors, you know, when they go to the back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and not only that, when you do that and you act like a jerk in a restaurant, you make everyone around you uncomfortable.
Yeah, man.
So if you're on a date and you're rude to the people, the waiters and waitresses, or the host or whoever, the bartender, whatever, the person you are with is totally going to be turned off by that.
Yeah, that happened to me. I was telling you, like, f- many, many moons ago. It's stuck in my brain. There was a girl I was working with, kind of had a little bit of chemistry, went to lunch, and that lunch effectively ended everything.
Incredible.
She was just such a biatch, man. Like, what's like?
It's awful.
Come on, man. It's a busy restaurant. The guy's just trying his best, you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. It's like, it's not life or death, you know? I'm as you know, I'm can be pretty, you know, I'm impatient on some things, World Wide Web, but I'm patient about a lot of things, many, many things. And one thing is I'm always, I guess there's a soft spot in me because I've worked in that industry for a while too as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's hectic and it's busy, you know, young cats is trying to make his money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to trip because he doesn't have dinner rolls at the table 5 minutes when I get there. I'm not that cat.
So. Right. No, I agree with you completely. And if you haven't worked in a restaurant before, waiting tables is like the hardest job you're ever going to have
in your whole life. Come
on, man. It's insane.
Yeah, it's everything.
Everything.
Yeah, it's customers, you know, it's making a customer feel welcome. It's making a customer feel comfortable. And then you got to also make sure that the orders are right, especially if you got a big party. It's like, come on, man, there's no reason. I just can't stand. I can't stand dickheads at restaurants. I just can't do it.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. I agree. So, huge turnoff.
So if you really don't want me to get naked with you, be a dick at a restaurant. Straight up.
That's one way to get rid of Rob.
Yeah. I mean, this date I'm talking to you about, Suze, I mean, maybe within half an hour, I'm already looking at my watch. Like, when do I get back to work? I'm never like that.
No. Never.
So.
No. Yeah. I understand. Total turnoff. Yeah, and on the same note, bad tippers. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, some others. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you talk too much, people who just talk too much on a first date. I had a first date once where I could not get a word in edgewise. It was horrendous.
It was me, 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 me.
Yeah, me, 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 me,
me. Ooh. Me,
all right, all right. You know what? Our guest is here, so why don't we welcome... Jessica. Hello, Jessica.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Great. Doing Thanks well. So much for calling.
Jessica.
Yeah. So this is Rob, my co-host. He's a little crazy.
No worries. I can handle crazy.
Nice. Good.
Well, you know what? From your job description, it sounds like you do handle crazy. So that's a nice segue.
Every day. Every day. That's why I wrote a book.
Yes. Yes. So, audience, Jessica Dunnigan is joining us. She is the author of Woman's Best Kept Relationship Secrets, and she is a relationship expert, and she is going to help you break some bad habits. So, Jessica, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you started doing it?
Yeah. Well, I essentially do one-on-one love coaching. I have a little bit of a backseat. Is that on my end or? Perfect. It's all good now. Okay.
Great.
I do one-on-one love coaching, and I've been doing this. Gosh, I started when I was about 19, 20 years old, and I'm 32 now, so I've been doing it for a while.
Wow.
And essentially what it was is after doing it for so many years and having so many clients from around the world, I learned bad habits that are patterns for women and what works and doesn't work for creating love, getting love, and really keeping love, you know, just all around dating or in a marriage. And I learned simple truths to really life and patterns. I started after I got sick at 18 out of high school. I got really ill unexpectedly. I gained, 100 and something pounds. I was about 275, almost 300 pounds. I didn't leave my bed for 2 years. Going to my car was a chore. I was really ill, and I was in and out of doctors trying to find out what was wrong with me. You know, I went from this popular, happy, you know, personality, wanting to do so much, enrolling in nursing school to my whole life, you know, changing behind, like, and having no idea why. Doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. My whole body was changing. And, you know, take your sickest flu day, and that was me times even more, because I literally couldn't function for years.
Oh,
and
my
this
God.
Process,
wow.
Yes, through this process, I learned how powerful love really was, because here I was going to the best doctors. I moved to, you know, the best clinic, and I moved to Minnesota to go to the best Mayo Clinic there. I did everything good on paper, but I realized that myself was my biggest healer, and love was the answer to that. And it opened me up to doing love coaching because I could work from home. It's like it all kind of played in together. And that was how I survived financially and as well because I worked from home. You know, I couldn't have a normal job. And I just, it was my calling. So I healed myself, by the way. I'm no longer 300 pounds. I'm healthy, happy. I just ran a 12-mile marathon through mud, you know. So
wow.
I'm completely different. Yeah, I completely changed. And no doctors cured me. I cured myself. Oh, my mind.
That's great.
Okay, so how did you cure yourself? I mean, how does that even work?
Well, you know, and love, this actually goes a lot in my book because love has a big role in this too. You know, even it started off, I always, you know, I felt like crap. So I told myself that every day, I feel like crap. I feel like crap. I'm so sick. I'm never going to get better, you know, better. And I just told myself that, and I was like, you know what? I don't care if I'm going to puke tomorrow, if I'm going to lay in bed all day, I'm going to tell myself I'm healthy. I'm going to say it. I'm going to plaster on walls. I had my whole entire room covered with I'm cured, I'm healthy, happy, love, like all these positive words.
Wow.
And it didn't take me, you know, that next day. I didn't wake up and go, oh, I feel good today. You know, it took me a while. It took me about a year, but I rewired my mind. I told myself different thoughts, and it became my future.
That is amazing.
Hmm.
Is part of that in your book? I mean, do you tell your story in that book? That is amazing. Okay, now I have 5 million questions. Of course I do. Because one of the reasons why I created fantasy dating was that all my girlfriends kept complaining, you know, we're never going to meet anyone, and there are no good guys in L.A., and all the good men are taken. And I kept saying, you know, as long as you tell yourself that, as long as you believe those stories, that's going to be your reality.
Yes.
So it's amazing that you prove that by changing the story you tell yourself, you can physically heal yourself. That's amazing. You should be on Oprah.
And you know,
this is a super soul Sunday conversation. Sorry, what were you saying?
You know what I realized that. I was like, if I could cure myself, if I could heal my body, how easy is it to, I mean, that's hard. How easy is it to have love, have your ultimate career, and it is. You have to have passion behind it. And, you know, it's funny because you tell me about the story that women tell themselves. And I actually talk about that in my book, and it's actually a big secret that a lot of women don't realize, but you are a product of the story that you tell yourself. And so many women, they limit their life. They limit their love. They limit their standards. They limit what they can have by playing a victim role. I mean, let's keep it real and let's be blunt a little bit. Play this victim of, oh, guys are cheaters. I'm always doomed. You know, everyone has a relationship but me. I teach women how to get out of that role and to really build their confidence and their self-love and rock their glow is what I like to call it, so they can have their ultimate love. I was that girl. Trust me, I was 300 pounds thinking I'll never get a man. Nobody will ever love me. Who wants a sick girl? I just want a guy to accept me. And my very first relationship at 25 years old was just that, a guy that accepted me. I got nothing more. He didn't love me. He didn't worship, you know, he didn't value me. He accepted me. And it was a miserable relationship. You know, I've been that girl. And I finally changed my story. And now it's like I told myself I want a man that's madly in love with me. I want, you know, all these things. And I have it now. You know, I'm here with a 7-month-old pregnant belly. You know, I have it.
Congratulations.
So it happened. Thank you.
That's so exciting.
I'm really big on self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing, you know. I'm really inspired by what you're saying right here. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely. So you mentioned that you teach women how to rock their glow and change those stories.
So glow.
Can you explain a little bit about how you do that?
Well, I always teach women, because this is one of the secrets. If women want to know one of the secrets, it really is their confidence and their glow. You know, confidence is sexy. I don't care, you know, if your weight. It doesn't matter about anything. It's how you carry yourself and your confidence. And what I teach women to do is how to get that self-love back. So rejection, they could care less. Guy don't want them, who cares? You know, raise your hands up and say next. And it really is about your glow, that charisma, that shine. And what I really believe is you are the average of the people that you're around. And if you're around energy suckers, negative people, you become a product of it. And I think a lot of women, they get caught up into, you know, their past relationships and the wrong things and negative energy, and it becomes what they're adapted to. So I really teach women how to get out of that, adapt to a new surrounding. And if you're not around a positive surrounding, be your own creator of it. You know, put on headphones, listen to music, listen to people that inspire you on the radio. Watch YouTube videos of people that inspire you. Teach yourself, read books, rewire your mind into a different way of thinking, a more positive way. And that just alone can help shine and rock your glow.
You should see Rob. Rob is nodding and pointing at the microphone. Like, like you are speaking gospel right now.
Suze knows I'm
too
very
many people
big
adapt.
On.
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I was just
going
to say that I find your story inspiring because I'm always one of my life missions always is just to try to be a better person. You know what I mean? Just in every aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect all the time, but I definitely strive for that every day. And training your mind is one of the things that I really believe is a part of that. So to hear you speak, I'm pointing at the mic because I'm like, yeah, see, that's exactly what I preach. For just not just for,
good.
Not just for relationship, but just so you can be a better person, you know, a healthier emotional person. So
absolutely, and even what you just said about I love your quote about you're the average of the people you're around.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. Some people can't recognize when you're surrounded by those energy suckers and those toxic people that if you have a toxic best friend who's always picking on you or bullying you or you know, pushing you, that kind of thing, it will absolutely affect whether or not you find a happy, healthy relationship. It will absolutely affect everything around you. I mean, family members can affect it's I love your quote about you're the average of people you're around. That will be tweeted later.
I think what happens is it's human nature to adapt to your surroundings. And so I always tell women to adapt to a surrounding that's going to make you happy. You know, if you're around a surrounding because you adapt to it and you become a product of it. So if you know, hey, this isn't me, this isn't what brings the best out of me, get out of it. You know, change isn't that hard. I think we tell ourselves change is hard. Oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. Change, it takes a second to do it. You just have to do it, right? And I think a lot of people, they get caught up in the wrong situation and they settle, you know, they just kind of settle and become a product of it.
Yes. Yes. And I think the way to make that change, and I love that you're calling it rewiring. As the audience knows, over the last year or so, I've been doing some really serious therapy and soul searching, and I've been seeing a trauma therapist. I went to a Chinese medicine man, an acupuncturist, an astrologer, a Reiki master, 3 psychics. I mean, the list goes on. So, and it's been a really awesome, cool year discovering all of these things about myself. And one of the things was really rewiring my brain, and it was interesting to me to learn that the nervous system operates on what it knows and what it's used to, and that, you know, it's kind of like it's carved these super highways of how we react and act, because that's the way the nervous system is used to operating. And so, you know, my therapist kind of described it as there are these little paths in the woods, and we have to keep walking those little paths until they become big roads. And I think that's exactly what you're saying about rewiring your brain, learning other ways of approaching life and of living. And it's all about starting small. It's all about smiling and saying hi to strangers and all the things that we preach at Fantasy Dating. The more and more you practice those things, the more confident you feel. So
absolutely.
So your book is basically a handbook for fantasy dating.
Well, what I do in my book is I first talk about some of the bad habits that I see women do, because there's like categories. For instance, one of them is a lot of women that I see, they hold on to the wrong guy. So what happens is they get almost obsessed with this guy that gives them a text once a week, or, you know, a late night visit once every 2 weeks, you know. And the reality is this guy is, you know, he's not giving you everything, and maybe it's just sex, maybe it is, or maybe it's just you fill a certain void, a certain, you know, amount of time, and they get fixated and hope for a future with this guy that's the wrong guy. And I've seen women, they literally will live that same life for years. They will settle for the once a week, you know, once a week hangout for 2 hours at night. And it's just, I mean, where's their standard in that? And so I teach women, like, hey, raise your standard. Get better, you know, put yourself out there better than that. You deserve more than that.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And I agree with you.
Too many women. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
They hold on to the wrong guy. And they're in such denial. And see, I think I piss a lot of women, excuse my French, but I think I upset a lot of women because they don't like to hear it. Because when you're in something like that, and when you love a guy that isn't the right guy for you, you don't want to hear it. You don't like hearing it. You want to hear that, oh, one day everything's going to be perfect. But that doesn't set you free. You know, truth is what sets you free. And so in my book, I'm a little blunt and raw in a lot of areas, but by the end of it, I think it sets women free. I mean, it really does. A lot of women will go, wow, you know, that is the truth. And I have to see that for what it is. Because like I said, I will have women come to me 2, 3, 4 years later, and the same guy will be there, the same wrong guy. But she's not getting anything different than she did 2 years ago, and it's nothing really. It's really nothing.
Mm. You know, and I think that you have to be a little bit raw and blunt. I think that those are the tools that are really effective. I remember years ago when He's Just Not That Into You came out, and of course that was huge rage because all of the women had been making all of these excuses for these guys because he didn't show up 2 hours a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that book was very straightforward about if he only shows up 2 hours a week, he's just not that into you. And it was so effective because of that. I read that book, and it had little exercises and things to fill in, and it was almost like a little mini workbook. And I dumped the guy I was seeing at the end of the book. I think that you absolutely have to be straightforward and raw with that approach, because otherwise they're not going to get it, you know.
Right. And here's for some of these ladies out there, here's a couple lines that women fall into, or they tell themselves, he's busy. He's just got so much going on. That's why he's not texting me. He's just really busy. Or he's scared of commitment. I love that one. He's just scared of commitment. Okay, we're all human, right? Like men, if they use the whole I'm scared of commitment line, they don't want to commit to you, you know? They don't see you as wifey material, because a man is no different than a woman. If we really like somebody, there's no excuses. You know, and women get caught up on those excuses, and they believe them, and it's just not the truth. No guy is too scared of commitment, and no guy is too busy. I mean, it's the truth, and a lot of women don't realize that.
Amen, sister.
I'm really scared of commitment. It's like, come on.
Absolutely. And some of the excuses we hear are ridiculous. Maybe he lost his phone. Maybe.
And they believe it. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, all this.
Well, and the thing is, though, the guy can, you know, not text the girl for 2 weeks and then say he did lose the phone. And then she'll go, and she'll believe him, you know. And that's where men, No, like, I'm not trying to dog on men or anything, but they're going to treat a lot of women how the women allow them to, you know. I mean, I guess it would be no different with us, you know. We want a strong man. A man wants a strong woman. The man wants you to be smart. You know, I wouldn't want to get away with everything if I was a guy. Guys don't.
I was just about to say that. It goes both ways, Jessica. It goes both ways.
Yeah, well, Bob, I mean, you don't want to be with a girl who's going to allow all that ridiculousness, do you?
No, definitely not.
No.
I'd be hitting the front door pretty quick anyway.
Pretty quick, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's funny when you started to say that, because I was thinking, people will treat us the way we allow them to.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So, obviously, your approach is different. which I love. I absolutely love. Are there some other traps or things that you hear women saying, issues that they're complaining of?
Well, you know, gosh, there's so many. I'm trying to think of what some of the big ones are. You know, I think that a lot of girls too can be a little needy. I mean, I'm not saying everybody, because I think guys can be needy too. But I kind of, that's
right.
A bad habit that I see a lot of women do, is they give all the power to the man. Where it's like, and that's where I'm like, okay, women, we got to, like, you know, with my clients, I'm like, we got to get your power back. Because if you're letting another human being, and that really isn't even giving you that much anyways, all of your happiness and your power. And I mean, there's women that literally are in good, their mood is dictated by if a guy texts them or not. That's giving somebody too much power. You know, that's giving somebody way too much power.
I can't even understand that.
That's because you don't go out with women like that.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
and here's the thing. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Now,
there are a lot of them.
Not all women, but there are a lot of women that are like that. And
sure.
It really goes down to their self-love. It really boils down to their self-love and their self-confidence.
Sure. I mean, I remember times in my life in the past when I was a lot younger where, if a guy didn't call I was very upset, really very upset.
Mm-hmm.
It would dictate my mood. There were definitely times like that, you know. And the reason why Rob is not familiar with these women is, so Rob's a really confident guy, and there's no way he'd ever be attracted to a woman who was not confident.
No.
I mean, that's, that's so unattractive to him. So it's interesting what everyone experience. You know, our experiences are different as we go through different periods in our lives. I would never let whether or not a guy contacted me now affect my mood. But in my 20s, I could have been sitting in the dark all weekend, like upset.
Turning on the light,
you know,
off,
what?
That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
Too funny. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but a lot of my clients, I mean, they're not in their 20s, you know, they're in their 40s. And some, you know, it all varies on different ages. And like I said, this is, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. This isn't every woman, but these are just habits and patterns that I've seen a lot of women do that I help break to get them their ultimate love, you know. And it varies in age, so.
So when it comes down to breaking them, how do you get, so like let's say that hypothetically, I'm madly in love with some guy, and this is fun. Wait, let's say I'm madly in love with a guy who. This is a good one. So I recently wrote an article called "Why Being the Cool Girl is a Terrible Dating Strategy," and a lot of women at different times in their lives they'll hang around guys. They'll be the cool girl, you know, she'll eat wings with you and drink beer and watch sports, and she'll go home with you and she'll sleep with you and she'll pretend like it's all totally cool, but she's really madly in love with you and hiding the whole thing, pretending that she's just the cool girl. How in the world do you instill some confidence in someone who has no confidence? Who is actually okay with pretending to be something that they're not? So
that's where I teach them. Yeah. That's where I really teach about rocking their glow. You know, teach them rock their glow, raise their standards. That's a big one, too. It's really, I think, you know, the universe gives you what your standard is. So if you have a lower standard, the universe, you know, and that's why I think Rob's got these good girls, you know, because his standard's high for what he knows he deserves. He knows his worth. And so when you know your worth and you rock your glow, the universe will bring you that. You know, I think a lot of women, they just don't, they limit their story, or they limit their belief by their story. And then they create a low standard for themselves, and then they get what they say. You know, so it really boils down to helping them get their confidence and hiring their standards. And I have different activities that I do with them and all of that too. So I mean, there's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, because I mean, a lot of times people get in the same will, the same direction. And so, like I said, re-changing how you think. And it really comes down to self-love and happiness.
It's fantastic. I love it.
And what you project out there, too. I mean, it's all
absolutely.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. Definitely. The energy you put out there.
Energy.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I always like to tell Suze, Jessica, I always have like key words that I say to myself. I know it sounds kind of crazy psychobabble, but it's true. You know what I mean? Like I have certain music or just certain words I just say to myself, like, you know, smile or be friendly, you know, when I'm out or before I go out, mm-hmm. just so I can get myself in that right mind frame just to be cool with people so that I'm open mm-hmm. to the possibilities of whatever might happen that night or whatever. So
I think the key is
good.
Being
That's
open.
Awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the key is also being open.
Open. Open is key.
Because mm-hmm. we all know that you can spot a person who's not open. The
unbelievable.
Whether they're crossing their arms, mm-hmm. staring at their phone, looking at the floor, slouched shoulders, all of that energy is that's don't talk to me.
Yeah.
So
and not a lot of, and I keep trying to tell people, nobody's going to want to really have the time at a bar or wherever to break through those barriers if you got them so, like, if you got them up and they're so strong. You know what I mean, Jessica?
Sure.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
even if she's the hottest lady in the bar or wherever I'm at, party, but if her arms are crossed and she's not looking up and she's not even bothering to make eye contact with me, I'm just going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just really...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's human nature. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
I just
yeah.
met you. I don't know you. So I'm not going to really ask you, sit there, like, what's wrong or whatever. You know? I mean, if you're not in the mood to party and hang out and be social, don't do that. Stay home. It's kind of my.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going to a wedding a few years ago, and I was seated at a table with a girl who was physically beautiful. She was physically beautiful, Orange County girl. And she started asking me what I do, and I told her about fantasy dating, and I told her I'm an author and all that stuff, and she was very unimpressed and just like half not listening. And so I said, what about you? What are you interested in? She said, well, I do sales and I sell 90,000 a week and blah, 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 and blah, 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 you know? And so I thought, okay, well, this is what's important to her and I'm going to let that slide and whatever. So after the wedding, everybody was going to a bar. And so I went back to my hotel room and I put on a pair of jeans, flip flops and a sweater and went to the bar. This is after the reception. This is, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And I walked in, and from across the room, she looked me up and down, and she snarled. And I thought to myself, my God, she could be the most beautiful girl in the world, but she is the ugliest.
Right.
Like she instantly mm-hmm. turned into the ugliest girl in the room because of her attitude. And it's so amazing that people can be so unaware of the energy that they put out there and how incredibly important it is in any situation.
Any relationship.
Mm-hmm. If you're at Starbucks, if you're at the car wash, if you're at the gas station, smile, say hi. It doesn't hurt.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I always say energy is an invisible language. You know, it really is. It's a language. It speaks.
You're a tweet a minute, girl.
I mean... You know, it really is. It's an invisible language, and people feel it. Vibes are so potent, you know, and I think a lot of people are unaware of that. You know, they don't get it. They don't realize it. But then they live a very generic life, and they wonder why they're unhappy. And it's like, well, you're waiting for this happiness just to come. Oh, when I get the promotion, or when I get a new car, or when I find love. And it's like, no. Happiness is a state of being. It's right now, and it doesn't matter where you are. You know, and I learned that being sick because I had to find happiness laying in my bed feeling like crap, and I did. I felt like I was more happy than people that had these great lives because I seen it in a different way. I realized that material things and, you know, having a partner and all those things, they bring happiness out in you, but it's not like the true happiness of an energy. You know what I mean? It's different.
I know. That's amazing. What you're saying is amazing. And you're proof of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just beautiful.
Yeah.
Love it.
I call it frequency, Jessica. That's my word for the energy.
Yeah. Mm. That's a good word. That's a very good word.
I'm definitely in a frequency.
You know, Oprah calls it frequency too.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I see, but you know what I mean.
No, she calls it vibration.
Okay.
It's frequency. It really is.
Frequency is big in my universe, and I try to keep my frequency on a high. I went, as Suze knows, a couple of weeks ago. Not like I haven't lived like this for many, many years, but it's kind of sounding like a little off topic, but not really, because I think you get where I'm coming from with this. So Jessica, I was involved in like a huge car wreck. Never crashed a car before like this. I mean, airbags, everything. And I walked away from the car wreck without a scratch.
Wow.
I think that moment really reinforced a lot of what I already believed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know? It's an awakening, you know? It's an awakening, yeah.
Jessica, I mean, I literally opened, like, I've to pry my car door open to get out of the wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. But it really kind of just reinforced a lot of, I was telling Suze, it kind of reinforced a lot of the things I already believe in.
Well, it means that you're not done yet. You know, you have so much to share and so much to do.
Right. Yeah. But also too, it just really helps you focus on the things that matter. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I just, you know, if you have a negative, you know, if you wake up feeling like you're going to have a bad day, well, yeah, you're the cause of that already, because you already woke up thinking you're going to have a shitty day, you know?
Mm.
If you go into a party situation and you just feel like, okay, nobody's going to like me, well, yeah, you're already being an asshole to yourself already before you even walk in the door. You know what I mean? So it's kind of those things I think it helped reinforce the stuff that I already knew.
Absolutely.
Which is why I brought that up. So just hearing all the things that you and Suze are talking about just really got me like, yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom.
That is it. You're right.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, so will you tell us a little bit about your coaching? So you coach one-on-one. Do you do that in person or do you do Skype sessions? How do you do it?
Over the phone. I do Skype and over the phone. Yeah.
Great. That's great. Good. So will you tell everyone how they can find you and how they can get some coaching with you?
Jessica!
It's good stuff.
Well, my book too, that's even, it's like a coaching all, and you know, in a Kindle version, you know, in your own bed. Rockyourglow.com is one of my websites, or authorjessicadunnigan.com. Both of those are my websites, and you can find my Facebook on there, and there's my book and my one-on-one coaching and my weekly workshops I do. So everything's on those sites at rockyourglow.com.
Wonderful.
Boom.
All right, people, go to rockyourglow.com. And look for it. And all of these links are also on the show page, so... And they're on fantasydatinggame.com. So please, go check it out. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. This was awesome. And you know what? I think we'd love to have you back, because I think we're really picking up what you're putting down.
Boom.
Hey, I got more where it came from. Trust me, I can go on and on and on. So we can definitely do another show.
That would be awesome. That would really be great. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Because,
thank you for having me, guys.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope you have an awesome night. And will reschedule. We'll do another one.
Awesome. All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Thank
Jessica.
You. She's right on. Yeah, I mean, that's like, okay. I mean, like, I'm feeling like she's, yeah. Well, it's interesting. And she's a tweet a minute. So you'll be seeing some of these tweets, people. Really great. Just great takeaways. That energy is an invisible language, and when you know your worth, the universe will bring you what you deserve. These are things that you guys should really listen or really take to heart over the next week or so.
Amen.
We need a dare. I have no idea. Rob.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. Checking your energy. What were we talking about? I don't know. I got so excited. I don't even remember.
Hey, World Wide Webs, if you're going to go out this weekend, before you step into any social situation, just check your energy at the door.
Yeah, yeah. Like Rob said, what did you say? You said smile, have fun.
Yeah, just use
be friendly.
Just use that word. Use those keywords. Be friendly.
Yeah. Make a make a conscious decision before you enter a situation to rock your glow. That's Jessica's thing. Sorry, I love it.
World Wide Web. Your mission this week, should you choose to accept it, is to rock your glow at any social gathering this weekend. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
I love it.
Good luck, World Wide Webs.
Oh, that's awesome.
It won't self-destruct, as you know, but...
Awesome.
Make it happen out there.
Thanks so much to Jessica for coming and joining us. She was amazing. Please check out rockyourglow.com. And
we want to thank my man Daniel Pearson of Towel of Sound for the great theme music that he gives us for our show. That's Towel of Sound, T-A-O of Sound. Please check them out on Facebook, Twitter. They're fucking great.
And next week we're going to have Matt and Andrea, a couple of, so they're a married couple of coaches, relationship coaches, and they describe themselves as providing non-douchey relationship advice.
And we don't like douchey people.
We don't, and they're smart and hilarious, so please join us next week at the same time, or at the same place, same time. And then if you enjoyed this broadcast, please share it.
Share.
And please listen to us, rate, and review us on iTunes. Every rating and review helps, so we would love your support.
Please tell 2 friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
All right, people, this week you go out, rock your glow.
Have a good week, World Wide Webs. Be good to yourselves out there, please.
Yes, please do.